Hi everyone in Axis. Hi everyone in our centers. I'm not sure whether you're there. Okay. Well, as you take your seats, I just want to welcome you. My name is Dennis. I'm one of the pastors in our church. It's so glad to be here this morning. I know it's a heightened measure in our nation, but we are also glad that we can be in church physically to worship God together. Those of us who are online, we're so glad you're joining us, and some of you are gathering in smaller groups. It's such a wonderful time. We can celebrate Mother's Day this weekend, but in our church, we are celebrating Parents' Day. You know, I just want to give a shout out to all the moms, whether you're watching online, you know, or your mommy, or whether I call you auntie or what, you know. I want to just say happy Mother's Day. So can you help me, you know, whether you're in the centers or here, just give all the moms another big hand, appreciate them. Come on, let me thank them. If your mom is beside you, you know, give them a hug, give them a kiss if you can, you know. So wonderful, you know, we appreciate you for your love and sacrifice. And we are celebrating Parents' Day because not just mommy, but daddies are important as well. So you are equally important. Both parents are such important role and in persons in our lives and in our church as well. So to do that, today we have invited a special guest to share their life with us. They are parents. They are parents of four, they are celebrities, but more than that, they are strong believers who have been through ups and downs in their life and their parenting, and they are here to share their journey with us. So church, wherever you are, can you help me to give Darren and Evelyn a big hand and welcome them? Come on. Hi, Darren. Hello. Evelyn.
Hello,
everyone. Hello, Hope Church. Hi. Hello, Pastor Dennis.
Come on, church. How are you, Pastor? Thank you.
Yeah, and happy Mother's Day to everyone. And also, thank you so much for remembering the daddies.
Give
also
a shout out to our people, our friends watching online in the camera.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Morning.
Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, you know, they put so much emphasis on Mother's Day. Huh? Sometimes fathers can be
forgotten. Your Lord, that's what they say, right? That's why we have to do Parents' Day.
Yes.
At least we help the daddy to see that, you know, we appreciate you.
Thank
but
you.
We mean it, lah. We mean
yes.
it.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So, Darren and Flynn, how has things been? What's keeping you all busy? Maybe introduce yourself to us
yes.
and help everyone to know you.
I don't assume that everybody watches TV, so it's good to introduce myself. My name is Darren, and nice to meet all of you. And I'm an actor. I'm also a yacht chartering business owner. So I'm currently busy with my own business, taking people out to sea. At this moment, especially that we don't have a lot of people being able to go anywhere in the world, so at least they can still come to my boat and we can go look at
tour around Singapore,
get to know our backyard a little bit better.
So you're like a tour guide in a sense.
In a way,
wow.
yes.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, and I'm also still busy doing documentaries. Sadly, because of COVID, I used to do a lot of traveling programs, usually on social issues. Traveling programs about food sometimes. But because of COVID, suddenly all my job is no more. So 2019 was supposed to be a good year with many, many, many projects lined up. But it was just like that.
Wow.
That everything was gone.
Must be a big adjustment.
It was a very, very challenging time. But God is good. By His grace, I'm still here.
And that's how you got your tan.
Oh yes, look at my color. Yeah, when I stand next to my wife, one is black face, one is white face.
Well, yes, Evelyn. There have been many, many changes, but I think, you know, none for the better. You know, all for the better, rather. Because, you know, we get to then spend a lot more time with Darren,
that's
right?
True.
Yeah, as a family, I think, you know, we grew through this COVID period. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so my turn. I'm Evelyn. Hi, everyone. Yeah, I better introduce myself. I'm his other half. Okay.
My I'm better also... half.
Thank you. Well, I'm also, I used to be very actively involved in the entertainment scene as well. So I was a host, I was an artist. But these days, you'll see me more at home. I'm more comfortable there, you know, in my home attire, working with the kids. Well, we've got four, so it's quite a handful. So there's quite a lot of things for us to take care of.
Wow, you must be enjoying yourself as a stay-home
mom. I am.
You are. Glad to hear that.
Yes.
Not all mummies will agree on that.
We've got one girl and three boys, so it's really hands-full. And it's a very, very busy family. House is always in a mess.
Yes, constantly.
It must be. I got two, I can't handle already. You know? You've got four of them, you know.
Yeah.
How many of you got four? You also have four. Wow.
You know,
you also got four. Wow. You know?
Well done. You know, I always tell people that when my wife agreed to have one child, it's because we want to start a family. Mm-hmm. When we have two, it's because we are concerned that he might be lonely. When we have three, it's because she loves me. When I have four, it's because she loves me very, very much. Agree?
Okay, thank those you. Who are, you know, some of you are agreeing to that, right?
I think children are really a heritage from God. They are blessings from up above. So that's why. And we really enjoy having them. We enjoy having them a little bit more when they were younger.
You know, how old are they now?
Now they are 16 for Kristen. 14 for Jairus, that's our first boy. And then we have another two more boys after that. That's Wei. Wei is 12. And Elliot is 8.
16, yeah. 14, 12, yes. 8.
Oh. I must finish my sentence, otherwise my kids will, you know, come after me. You mean now you don't enjoy having me, man, huh? Okay? We still enjoy having them, you know. They are really blessings. And I think, you know, what right now we are enjoying more is the kind of intimate conversations that we had. Mm. In the past, you know, it used to be a lot more easier. Not so much on the physical side, because we had to run after them, but now you don't have to think too much. But now, because they are all their different personalities are coming out, right? So you have to learn how to know a person, interact with the person, talk to a person, and, you know, engage him at the level he or she is, and with that kind of personality that he or she is made with, you know. So it's a little bit different. More challenging.
Yeah. So each of them, four of them, I'm sure they're all different.
Yes.
So how do you go about, like, you know, managing this four in your home, and what are some of the fun part and what are some of the challenges, you know, you can share with us?
They're all in very different stages. Mm. So we have our eldest that's 16
teenager.
Now, and soon she's going to become a young adult.
Yes.
And then we have the youngest one, which is still challenging and still whining around. So there is no one method to handle the four of them. You have to have four different approaches with all four of them. Yeah.
Wow. Mm. Yeah, tell us more about that.
So I think, you know, the funnest thing about being together in a big family like that is the fact that, you know, we get different flavors every day. Yeah? So, you know, everybody will come in with their different flavors. And as a parent, it keeps us active and young, because we have to be, you know, we have to catch up, we have to learn how to, you know, deal with the different changing terrain every day. Mm. Yeah. So I think, you know, that really keeps us really, really actively engaged, you know. The challenging part, well, okay, and then, you know, whenever you have conversations, for example, you know, at a dinner table, it will always be four people talking at the same time. And then sometimes you also try and butt in, you know, so, you know, it's very bustly. And it's very exciting, you know. It's not a quiet house, yeah, but I think we kind of enjoy that noise sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, at the same time, we are also very humbled by the day-to-day living, you know, at home, being parents, and parents for the first time, even when we have four, you know, it almost feels like every single day is a whole learning process. Every single day is a whole new set of challenges. You know, there was once, just to quote an example, we went to take up this course. It's called, Parenting Kids God's Way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so when my third child, Wei, he was quite young. He was at about, 9, 10 years old. He said, "Papa, Mama, y'all don't need to go and take this course, you know?
You want to be good parents? I teach you."
Yeah.
This is the know-it-all, huh?
Very, I can Google for you.
Yeah. No. He was only, very young then.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe 5, maybe younger than that.
Very young.
Yeah,
very young. He said, "You want to be good parents, I tell you, I teach you, okay? You just take the cane and throw away, can already."
Oh, so cute.
So for them, it's no cane. That means to say you love us. You just let us indulge us. Let us do whatever we want, right?
Yeah. To some parents, maybe you might find that it's shocking to hear that we are still using the cane. But spare the rod, spoil the child. That is what we believe.
Yes.
And I think a certain discipline in place is actually good and healthy, so long as it is within boundaries, that we don't, you know,
when we are angry
and things like that. And sometimes for very young children, it is difficult to reason with them. So a quick, you know,
Or even
threat.
Just the sight of it.
The
you know,
sight
just
of it.
Just
exactly.
bringing it out, just
yeah.
the sight
I
of
can
it.
Understand
you, can,
that. Yeah.
You get his attention totally.
Yeah, that's so good. Because
next.
Eventually you want them to feel love.
Yes.
And that's not about the cane, it's about them feeling you love.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So what are some challenges you guys are facing right now? You know, what are some things that you guys are, once you go back, you know that you are dealing with this and all these things, you know?
I've got an example, that can show, you know, the challenges and the joy, okay, all in one place.
Wow.
Just recently, in a car, all right, my number three was, again, you know, this is a, you know, I got it all sorted out already. I know what to do in my mind already. We have to get to school by 7 o'clock, okay? So he has got all these preconceived ideas that he must get to school at 7, and so I'm in charge of sending both of them to school every morning, right? So for a few days in a row now, you know, he has been complaining and then, you know, full of grouse and then just scolding his brother because, you know, you should know that we must get to school on time and, you know, this is the, I've already told you, you know, how come you're still like that and all that. So he was nagging and nagging and nagging. Then, you know, at the opportune time, I just cut in and say, Wei. So he said, yeah, no, I still want to continue. Say, Wei. Yes, Ma, what? You know, you want things to change, right? Yeah, of course. You know, I want to, no. But wait. Yeah, what? Is what you're doing helping? You know, so there, it opened up an opportunity for me to talk to him, you know, to get him to understand that, well, we have a younger one here, all right? Elliot is only 8 years old. So he needs his precious sleep, you know? Younger children need more time to rest, right? But yes, you can sleep early. Yes. So, but what you're doing is not going to help him along in this, correct? So do you want to see things change? Yeah, of course. So then we talked and then we discussed and I engaged him in that whole conversation to think about what we can do in order to move things along.
Reasonism.
And so he actually, yes, then he actually felt that, you know, hey, I'm involved in this whole situation and he doesn't feel so hopeless. Because I think part of the whole grouse about this thing is that, you know, nothing is changing and then all I can do is I'm angry, I'm frustrated, so I need to let it all out. But if he can see that there is hope, if let's say, you know, you engage him in that whole thinking process, he problem solves, he feels empowered too that, you know, okay, so I can actually maybe give a good example by sleeping earlier the night before together with Titi, or encouraging him, reminding him to get ready before on time so that, you know, we can leave on time. Yeah, so then he feels a little bit more empowered and, you know, feels a little bit more hopeful about the next day. And so I thought, you know, wow, I did something that morning, you know. I felt good about myself too.
Oh, you
yes.
Do.
Instead of, like, you know, scolding him too. Why are you like, no, I mean, things are not going to change because, you know, what are you doing? So I did that actually the day before, and I thought, hey, that doesn't help him in seeing that, hey, you know, this is younger, so you just have to give him more time and all that. And all these things, talking sense to him didn't help. But, you know, I tried a different approach by engaging him. So you come up with situations that you think, you know, you come up with solutions about how things can change for the better. And then he felt better about this whole thing. And even Titi came along and said, okay, if you are really going to go to school in the morning, because I told him about telling him the purpose, telling Titi the purpose. And then if Titi buys in, then he will also feel like, you know, oh, I want to help you along with that. So my boy wants to go early in the morning to help other friends with their homework. So he claims, I don't know how true that is, but then, you know, when Titi heard about it, he felt like, Gogo is a hero. I said, yeah, then you can be a little hero, right, Elliot, by helping Gogo to be a bigger hero. No, I'm the giant hero here. So you
so
see,
cute.
We had a funny moment there, you know. Yeah, so yeah. These are all the joys of, little joys of parenting that, you know, I'm counting on, to keep my day sane.
I think these are very good reminders for the mummies here, you know, that they said, hey, this is what Mother's Day and being a mom is about. You see, you have that frustrating moment, but you have that moment that you see their cuteness and you're like, you forget about everything
else.
Yes,
you know, yes.
So
yes,
good. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, Darren, what
welcome.
About you?
Well, I think for today, the biggest challenge that we are facing are the kids to the exposures with electronics. Yeah, so I think in every family it's the same. Kids are so indulging into their computer gaming and all that. So I think that's my greatest challenge with the children. But of course, as a parent, I also have to learn to approach it in a more loving way by understanding what's behind all that. Because now gaming and our time, the gaming is very different. Our time is killing the bad guys, you know, just shooting. But today, when they're playing, they're actually communicating with their friends. It's a social platform for them. So I think with that understanding, I can be a bit more lenient. And so long as they keep within the boundaries, then I think it's fair, okay? So I think everything is good, but not everything is beneficial. So we just need to make them understand that and take it one day at a time. Yeah. So and most importantly, I set such rules that when you're playing, in the midst of playing, sometimes you get angry and then you use abusive words, yeah, or you show your anger. So such practices are not good. Then I will tell them, okay, so long as you don't do that, then you're fine. So we are very hands-on parents. We are with them all the time. We will guide them along the way.
Yeah. It must be challenging, right? Because this whole thing about the gaming and the phone thing.
Social media.
I think
and all that.
All of us parents experience that, right?
Yes.
And you are really speaking their hearts out. How do you go about understanding? Because sometimes, I mean, it doesn't happen for us last time, right? This, as you say, gaming is very different. How do you get to understand what is their world like, you know?
So you see, like there was once my daughter, she uses the Instagram quite a bit. All right, she used that to connect with her friends. And I tell her, look, you're not in doing business or whatever. You know, you miss one conversation is not going to change the whole world for you, right?
Yeah, we say, you know, you can catch up later, right? So you can, you know, so we'll give them allotted time. Okay, between 7 to 8, for example. Then you can catch up and then, you know, just reply.
10 minutes after dinner, 10 minutes after before you go to bed, you can check on your social media. So I think on both ends, we have to come to a compromise. Mm. Yeah, there's no choice to
Communicating,
yeah.
But is it easy to get to a point of compromise? Because they might insist their own way.
Of course it's not easy. It took a long time. And I also make them understand why is it that we are taking this approach. If I let you go free range, then you are going to go everywhere. And the boundaries are, you're going to set foot on the other side and you're going to get yourself into trouble. And that's not what we as parents want to see. I'm your guidance. I'm supposed to be stewarding your life at this moment until you're big enough to discern what is right, what is wrong, what is good for you, then I will leave you alone. Mm. But meanwhile, you're still a child, so you're still supposed to be guided by your parents. Respect my authority, and then we can work together. Oh. So I think that's very important, is that for them to recognize our authority over them, and for us to understand who they are in this new generation, how they're growing up, understand their mindset behind it, understand their needs. I understand that your friends are very important, but at the same time, do you care about daddy? Do you care about how mommy feels? You stress her out just because of your non-compliance. You know, you're hurting your mama. So I used such approaches so that it's more emotional. It's not an emotional blackmail, but then it's more understanding,
appealing to their hearts. Understanding, you know, that we do have an issue that where, you know, this is a generational gap thing.
Yes,
you know,
I was about to ask that because in your communication with them, I'm sure that sometimes you might think this way, you might man it this way, but they don't get it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people say that that's that generational
gap. That's right. So because we did grow up in an environment that way, right? For us, it's very strictly, if it's work time, it's work time. But these days, you know, work and leisure.
Work
actually,
from home, yeah. Study
it's
from
all
home.
That same terminal, isn't it? It's that computer in front of you. You know, you're working, and then all of a sudden somebody pings you and say, "No, hey," on Discord or whatever.
Yeah, and I can be sure that even for adults, while you are working from home, you have one computer that is talking to your boss. The other computer, you'll be looking at YouTube or you'll be looking at.
No, I see a lot of
games.
Like, you know, sniggers.
So
we
this
all
is not
understand.
A problem with just children. Yes. In fact, even adults, we are facing that kind of challenges and temptations.
Yeah.
So how do we draw that line? Mm. I think this is self-governing is also very important.
And how to manage it, like, I think, you know, is very important. So children at this age, they still do need some form of guidance. So, you know, like for us, what we do then is that we just tell them strictly that during your non-computer hours, I mean, or rather I should say, you know, for those work that you're doing, for example, I've got two homeschooling at home, you know, if let's say they're not using the computer for that particular piece of work, the assignment, then, you know, you must stay away from the computer. Yeah, you don't stay there and think that, oh, it's fine, you know, I'm not going to touch it. You're actually putting temptation right in your face. So, and, you know, then we just go in and then check in on them and show them that it's not so easy to fight temptation. So rather than, you know, you try and fight temptation, think that you can do it, why not just remove yourself from that source of temptation, right? Yeah, so these are conversations that we have with them. Yeah.
I like the kind of like a very open and communicative approach that you guys have with your children. And I think it's a great reminder sometimes because as a parent, we can get caught up in the emotional game, right? You know, they get emotional, we get emotional, them getting emotional, then, you know, it just keeps spiraling down. But I think that reminds us that reason, that logic, to understand them, and maybe we might be wrong, maybe we don't understand them enough, and try to talk about that. Yeah. Yeah.
But definitely we have one winning card with us, which is pray.
Wow.
Yeah, pray until something happens. Pray until they will one day listen. I think the persistence of praying is very, very important over the children. Because to be honest, unless you are with them 24 hours every single time, how sure are you that they're not looking at something that they're not supposed
exactly,
to.
Exactly.
So what's behind all that? So all this is actually boundaries that we set physically, but boundaries that we are setting spiritually as well. So as parents, our job is also to guard that spiritual realm, the things that they might be exposed to, the things that might be influencing them. I think these are also very, very important things. Yeah.
What is, because today we talk about riding the storms of parenting and life, what is that biggest storm that you've ever ride in your parenting?
Well, the biggest storm has to be a physical storm for us because we used to live on a boat, on our yacht, so almost 3.5 years.
3.5 years?
Yes.
Fully on the boat?
Fully on the boat.
Wow.
So we were sailing around the region. So we sailed into Malaysia, Thailand, Indonesia. So I've actually covered the whole peninsula. We actually wanted to go much further, but because Elliot, our youngest one, was just almost two, so he was just at about the time that he started walking. In fact, he learned how to walk on the boat.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so he will walk on the boat.
He could walk so well on the road, on the boat, you know. And when he gets on land, he will fall.
Yeah.
Because he will overcompensate. He will overcompensate. So it was very cute. So I'm very blessed that we are very blessed that we actually spent that very precious few years growing up together with them on the boat and bringing them to various places.
So memorable.
So there was one time we were sailing to Koh Samui. So on Koh Samui, we were sailing in the Gulf of Thailand, which is actually just right at the side of the South China Sea. And it was not supposed to be a stormy or typhoon season. However, a freak typhoon came and it hit Phuket, which is the western part of the peninsula or the western part of Thailand. And then it hit the mainland of Thailand, and it hit us on the eastern part.
When you were on the sea?
When we were in the sea.
Oh, gosh.
And we were 50 nautical miles away from any shore. So there was no land. It was just the sea, the horizon, and the sky.
So all this is a time when 你叫天不应,叫地不灵.
Yeah, really. You cannot stop anywhere. You cannot drop anchor because the minimum depth of the water is like 50 meters, 100 meters. There's no way you can drop anchor. So a storm came by. It was so black. It was the darkest cloud I've ever seen in my entire life. And there was no wind, zero wind. And within 2 minutes, the wind picked up from 0 to 150 kilometers.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, it was.
I do not know how strong that is, but it sounds big.
It's big. Mm. So you can imagine driving your car at 150 kilometers,
okay,
and then you stick your head out, and then your mouth will be, and then your saliva will fly, and it will shoot into your ears as well. So that's how bad 150 kilometers wind speed is. And the wave was about 6-7 meters high. And so I opened the window, I told my family, I said, all of you stay indoors, stand by for battle, children. Close the door and then carry on sailing. If you ask me, was I fearful? Well, now that I think of it, yes, it was quite scary. But during that time, there was no time for fear. I just had to make sure that I steer the boat in the right direction so that it will not get hit on the side, because that's the worst thing that can happen, is a big, huge wave that hits you on the side, and the boat can be very unstable, even to the possibility of capsizing. Yeah, so that was the most scariest moment, yeah, so to speak.
Wow, so and through that kind of storm, what lessons do you learn out of it? How, you know, after you all go through it, was this, I mean, it must be very fearful. You sound very calm, right? But, you know, Evelyn, how do you feel that time? How were the kids, you know?
Like he said, you know, there was no time for him to react to fear, all right, respond in fear. So same thing, you know, we were hit so badly. We only had biscuits for lunch, dinner, because it's 24 hours, right, and supper, whatever, your breakfast. So I really remember just surviving on biscuits because I was so hungry. But
you were seasick also.
I was seasick.
Yeah. So
I was lying down and eating, you know, whatever I could. Whatever morsel of food that I could, you know, possibly force in, because it was hungry here. You know, even the tummy was upset, but, you know, there's still real hunger. And so, you know, we would just survive on those biscuits. And then I was really just lying throughout the whole time.
But you
and
know
trying what? To keep Elliot down.
The kids, right? They were still good. My eldest daughter, she was still reading. And then the two other boys were still playing games down below.
In the storm.
In the storm. During the storm. It was 8 storms in 24 hours. Can you imagine that? 8 storms in 24 hours. When Nightfall comes. It is pitch dark and you cannot see anything. In the day, the rain was so strong, the rain was coming in all directions. The visibility was down to zero. But that time, I have to pull a brave front, stand at the helm and sing, "With Christ in the vessel, I can smile at the storm, smile at the storm." You know, yet you are still looking up there and asking God, "God, I thought you can just be still. And then the storm will become, right? The sea will become." It didn't happen. Then how? I have a whole family with me. Am I not afraid? Of course, I'm worried about the safety of everybody. But the greatest lesson I learned through this is to have faith in the Father. Because it is only through faith that you can please the Father. And when I look at my children, they could just, after I say, "Stand by for battle," they closed the door, they went in there, they played games, and they were still reading storybooks. They had no fear in them. Why? Because they had faith in me at that point. They knew that Daddy knows what he's doing. Mm. So I don't have to worry. So I can just continue to do what I'm doing and I'm fine. And I thank God that we managed to pull through that storm. And it was only through that storm that I learned that really in life sometimes, if you have not gone through a zero in life, which is the storm, you will never learn to appreciate what normal is, like a 10, like just being able to go out and have dinner with your friends or to see your parents or to go home is a 10. Especially during this time, during this COVID season.
Exactly.
There's so many people that couldn't go home. There's so many people who are stuck. Yeah. So yeah. A simple thing like just going home to have dinner with your mum, I think that will, that's a 10 for everyone.
Such a good analogy, right? Having faith in daddy, physical daddy, but because it's so equally important as having faith in our heavenly Father.
Yes.
You know, it's so good. So through that, right, I mean, I know you guys are strong believers, and in your parenting journey, what do you think are some, how does your Christian faith, how does your relationship with God, how does understanding His grace in our lives changes and influence the way you parent?
I think for myself as a mother, you know, who is a high achiever, you know, being kids of such parents are usually quite jialat lah. Because, you know, then the expectation is set high, right? And I look at them, they're normal kids, right? So, you know, if we put in a bit of effort, you know, parenting them, then they should be, you know, they should do quite well. But then again, I think, you know, what I've learned from God really is the gift of grace, of being gracious to your children. Yeah, and to learn that, you know, they all have different timelines they grow up to, yeah. So I think, you know, with our kids, for me, the first lesson came when we discovered that one of our boys, in fact, both of them, I think, are dyslexic, but one of them has been certified, so to speak, diagnosed as...
Dyslexic.
Mm. So, you know, we were giving them a lot of help in terms of getting them to read, and, you know, for this particular one, my Jairus, okay, he doesn't mind sharing that, you know, he's dyslexic. In fact, he's rather proud of it. I think, you know, he doesn't let it bother him anymore. So even primary five, he wasn't really reading well. Yeah, but you know, we have been giving him lessons in using the Orton-Gillingham program that's suitable for dyslexic people. And you know, but slowly he came along, and I think we saw him overcome. But back when we first started out, you know, it was just I can't understand. You know, we are normal people, we are okay. But you know, why is it that our child is not thriving the way that he should? So there was this anxiety, there was this expectation that was not met, right? And then, you know, I think there was also fear that we're not doing things right and all that. So everything, you know, just compounded to an issue. And I think there was it caused me to look at things very differently now. Now that, you know, I look at him, surely he can read. He may not read as fluently as people. He may not enjoy reading as much as mommy here does or expects him to. But, you know, he is able to get along academically. He's doing well. And I think, you know, he's very smart in other ways. You know, he's the auditory learner. He is not visually inclined because, you know, it's really quite a torture for him to go through, you know, to trace words like that. But you read the story to him, he absorbs all these words and all the idioms. Wow. And whatever, he can just regurgitate it back to you. So, you know, we are all gifted in very different ways, but, you know, maybe the academics in Singapore or, you know, all around the world, you know, requires us to be studious and to come to that grade to make that mark in order to be certified. You know, oh, you're an A-level holder, you're a diploma graduate, you're, you know, whatever. But, you know, maybe my child is just different. And if, let's say, you know, his make is different, then I think we have to give him the opportunities in those areas, right? Yeah. And I think, you know, then in and through that, I realized that, oh, I've been really harsh. But has my God been that harsh to me, you know, in making me come along as a mother to immediately know that, okay, this is a child and this is how you should parent? No. I also made a lot of mistakes along the way.
And also to recognize that God has a purpose for each and every one of us in our lives. And so we see that for Jairus, this is how it is. So God has made him very special. God has made him very different. But he will fulfill God's purpose in his life.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we have faith in and we believe in.
And we grow to understand. You know?
Yeah. And as for me, truly it is by grace that I can still be here. Mm. Why do I say that? Because if I were to go back and connect all the dots to from where I used to be, honestly, I'm a school dropout, right? I've done so many wrongs in my life, but God has made it right. And that's why I can still be who I am today.
How did you come to know Jesus then?
Well,
were you in the past and how did you came to know God?
I grew up in a kampung, okay? The story goes that I'm very rebellious. Every day when I wake up, the first thing I'll do is I will hide away from my grandma and then I'll climb out of the kampung gate and then I'll be out at sea. Right? We stay near the sea. I was in Sembawang area. So the sea is like my second home. Okay, I live off it. I can actually dive into the waters, catch something, and I can eat crabs raw. I don't need to go home to eat cooked food. So I'm a kampung boy. I'm also a barbarian in that sense. So I can literally just, you know, that was my childhood. And I don't like to go to school. I don't like to study. I'm very naughty. I'm very rebellious. I every day jia tin tiao, you know. Eat the cane more than kway tiao. Yeah. So I have a very, very bad relationship with my father. My father is a businessman. So I would say 3/4 of my time, my childhood, he is actually away. He's a businessman in China. So he's always away from my life. And every time he comes back, he gets complained. Either from my grandma or she will get complained from my school teacher or my school principal. I see school principal more than I see my father. So that's the kind of childhood I had, you know. So a very, very bad relationship with my father. Yeah. And literally, whenever my father talks to me, it's either he's with the cane or the chairs will be flying from one end of the house to the other end of the house. So can you imagine that kind of relationship? It's really, really horrible. But it was my father who was in business and his business went downhill and he was declared bankrupt. And he was going through the hardest time of his life. You know, in his younger days, he was very successful. He was doing very well. So I think that setback for him was great. It was so painful that he almost wanted to end his life. And he met a pastor on the golf course and the pastor invited him, "Hey, what happened to you? You used to play very well, but now your game is so bad." He said, "What game are you talking about? I'm even thinking about ending my life." Wow. Said, "Why don't you come to my office? Let's sit down and let's talk." So my father went to his office. They sat down. The minute the pastor opens up the Bible, my father started weeping and crying and healing came into his life. And because of the love of the Father, our Heavenly Father, that first loved my father, and then he could love me back. One day he came to me and he said, "Son, would you come with me? Come with me to church." "Huh? What? Go to church?" Okay. I went. The minute I walked in, I wept and I cried and healing started. And the healing is not just physical. It was spiritual. It was also between my father and me. And from that day onwards, it restored our relationship. Yeah. And today I can sit together with my father in front of the fish tank and we can have long conversations. You know, so the change is very evident.
What are some of the changes that you see in your father evidently that you know Jesus changed his life or even yourself?
His temper. The first thing, the most evident one and the most direct one was his temper. He's a hot-tempered person, right? So you can talk to him in less than three sentences, you know, things will start flying already, you know. But because of his change in his life, he realized how sinful he is in nature and in his past, the wrongs that he's done. Mm. What rights does he have over me? You know, that's the kind of feeling that he has, and he understood that, and so when he shared that with me, and he could humble himself down and even invite me to church, so that change was great, you know. Mm. And yeah, so that was my walk. And from the day I came to know Christ, I took Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and my Lord in my life, and I recognized how good this God is. Every single step of my life, when I start connecting the dots back into my past, I knew every single thing that happened was orchestrated by Him, you know? And then, yeah, the rest is history.
So how did Evelyn come to know God? I mean, I see Evelyn crying because...
Yeah.
So we were...
A lot of people would think that she was the one who brought me to church.
You forced her to church. That's why she's crying.
Yeah, it was me. I forced her to church.
A lot of people ask me, you know, hey, did you convert Darren? You know, were you the first one who came to know God and then, you know, brought him to church? I say, no, it's the other way around. You know, so God works in a very mysterious way. Maybe I have that demeanor that looks like, you know, that makes me look like an angel.
Oh, okay.
Just kidding. So I'm thankful that I know I met him, and it was really through my acquaintance with Darren, and then that time he was chasing after me. So, you know, he just invited me, hey, this guy very special, invite people, go dating, go church, one, no. Say, hey, not bad, okay. So, but I wasn't a believer then, and I wasn't keen on having a faith or religion, yeah. But okay, upon invitation, I think, you know, it's something good, right? So I just went with an open heart. But the amazing thing was, when I went, you know, once the music started playing, I was tearing, and I don't know why. I could never quite explain why, you know, but every time the minister takes to the stage and he talks about, you know, his message, the sermon for that week, I would really feel touched, and there would always be a message for me that will relate to something that I'm struggling with, for example, and that whole crying thing, you know, just really brought a lot of relief, a lot of... I don't recognize it as healing, but you know, I felt that I was lighter the minute I stepped out of church. And so as I came to know more and more, so I was open. I was really open to, you know, accepting Jesus. And so when I said the sinner's prayer, and after that, you know, I went deeper into understanding what this whole faith meant. And, you know, there was really no turning back, because, you know, I saw my own sinfulness in this, and I saw how, you know, God has also just offered me grace upon grace, you know, time after time, and how his love actually affected me and caused myself to change. Yeah. So like, you know, in this whole parenting walk, I think I grew most in my parenting walk, because there were lots of things that, you know, you wanted, you felt that you could control as a parent. But, you know, more and more I realized that it is actually love that will cause that person to change. For example, love for our children. I think our children see us, and you know, the fact that, you know, they also are at their teenage years, for example, you know, they will have ideas of their own, they want to do things in a certain way, and that sense of autonomy is nothing wrong in itself. But how they change, I think, you know, needs to be guided by us. And when they see that, you know, we are getting them to change because we love them, then it's a totally, it takes on a different meaning for them. It's no longer me against you. It's more like, you know, okay, I want to make sense of what Mama and Papa are talking about. You know, okay, why is it that they're after this? So they then seek that purpose behind why we're having that conversation, for example, you know, with them. Rather than, you know, 都是你每次讲的,不是, you know, you don't want to listen to us, yeah. So sometimes I'll catch my daughter saying things like, you know, yeah, it's okay, you just go ahead like, with our plans, I'll just fit in. Then I know she's actually telling me, Mom, you're at it again. You know, you're at that parent mode where, you know, you want to control and you want to have a certain sense of like, you know, okay, I know the next step where we are heading to, and not listening to me. And then that's when I will step back and then, you know, re-evaluate how I've approached that matter, and then re-look into how we can approach it in a new way. So that, you know, I can get her buy-in, so we can communicate our ideas. Yeah.
So good. I like it how through storms in your life, actually, the most powerful thing is that you met Christ. and how Jesus came into your storm. And through the different things, you know, Jesus becomes so real in your life and your experience, and how both your life are changed as a result of that, you know. Thank you so much. Any last words you have for me, for the audience and for people around?
I think God is just not done with us, you know. Even right now, I haven't been a Christian for so many years. I love it for that, because, you know, there's so much that He's revealing to us at different seasons of our lives, and showing us His love. You know, every day is an adventure. You know, I know that right now we are still riding a storm, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
We were riding a tougher storm last year. This year, we still have storms that we are still riding through. And sometimes, you know, we really, like Darren said, no, we can just pray. I just hope that, I pray that, you know, this storm will go away and it will just disappear and things will miraculously turn well. But it's not.
It doesn't always the case.
Yeah. No, it doesn't always do that, but all okay. Trials and tribulation is good for us. We are still going to become stronger and better people for God.
So good. Yes.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that, first of all, I get this opportunity even just to share this testimony of the footsteps that God has in our lives. And yeah, thank you, and God bless all of you. Yeah.
Church, help me to just give Darren and Evelyn a big hand. Thank you so much for giving us a snapshot of your life. Thank you so much. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
I'll see you again. Okay, see you. Thank you. Hope all of you are doing well and okay in the centers. And we're just so glad to have you here with us. And those of us who are watching online, continue to stay with us. I really love to share this with you, because I love it how when Darren and Evelyn shared just now that through the storms in their life, they met Jesus and experienced Him. And this reminds me of this saying, that you never know that God is all you need until God is all you have. You never know that God is all you need until God is all that you got. And sometimes God uses storms in our life to draw us closer to Him. He uses storms in our life to kind of like just reveal Himself more to us. And the disciples in the Bible, they were in a real storm, just like Darren and Evelyn in the Bible. And the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 4, verse 38 to 41. You can look at the screen, on your screen, and you can see this verse here. Let me read for you. Jesus was in the stern in this part of the boat, sitting on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to His disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Don't you have no faith?" They were terrified and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him." And through the storms, through this storm, Jesus revealed Himself to the disciples that He is not just any other person. He is the Son of God. He is God and Lord over creation and over nature. Are you going through a storm in your life right now? Maybe it's a relationship storm that is causing you to be so heartbroken. Maybe it's a parenting storm. You're feeling so disappointed. You're feeling so hopeless. Maybe it's a financial storm that is giving you so much stress and causing you to lose sleep. No matter what storm that you're going through right now in your life, I want to let you know that God is using it to draw you closer to Him. He's using this storm to reveal Himself more to you. And some of us, you do not know Jesus yet. Either you're watching online, in the homes, or here, in our centers. You know, we might think that Christianity is like many other religion. You know, it's like a source of help that, or a source, kind of like a problem solver in our life. We got a problem, we come to God, we say, "God, help me." And then God's come like miraculously take away the problem. But that's not what the Bible tells us about who God is. In fact, whether we are in valleys or mountains, whether it's in a storm or a calm, ups or downs, God desires for us to go through all this with Him and experiencing Him through it all. It's very similar to what I think Darren and Edwin shared just now. That sometimes there are different times in our life. We meet with different storms. And sometimes God calms it down, but sometimes He doesn't. But through it all, He wants every one of us to experience Him, to know Him more. You see, this is what Christianity is really all about. It is about this relationship that we can have with God. A real living relationship that we can have with God. And contrary to the science of Big Bang or to evolution, you and I, we are not just some random formation of atoms and molecules. But if you look at the neighbor beside you, you will know. We are an intelligent being. And this intelligence points to an intelligent creator. And God, who existed before every one of us, He created us for a purpose. And that purpose is to know Him, is to worship Him, is to know, is to have a relationship with Him. Isn't that an awesome truth? Isn't that such an awesome truth that we can know today? That you and I, we are not created by chance, without any purpose, but we are created with a purpose in life, to know the God of the universe. To know the God of the universe. But the problem is this. The problem is that we as humans, we have chosen not to recognize His existence. We have chosen to live lives by ourselves, to do lives by ourselves, not caring and thinking and knowing Him. We have chosen to decide for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. And the Bible calls this sin, this rebellion against God. Because of sin, we are unable to have a relationship with God. Because of sin, we are unable to have a relationship with God. And you know, as parents, some of us are parents here, I'm sure you will understand, you know, what is sin. Because watching your kids grow up, watching our kids grow up, right, you will realize that we don't need to teach them to be rebellious, to be self-serving, to be selfish. You know, I have two children, and I don't need to teach them that to be selfish. Our toddlers, when they grow up, they'll tell us this, "This is mine," you know? And somehow I don't understand this, but a toy will be the most desirable when your sibling has it. Isn't it true? You know, like only when someone takes it, I want that toy as well. Your teenage child, you don't need to teach your teenage child to talk back at you and to scream back at you. Somehow or another, they learn it somewhere, somehow. And you ask them, where do you learn it from? It is in us. It is in us. And it takes an incredible amount of effort, of education, of resources to change them and to teach a child, you know, to behave. Don't you agree, parents? We are all born in sin. And the question is this, what can rescue us from sin? What in this life, what in this world can rescue us from sin? And let me give you a very relevant analogy in our today COVID-19 pandemic world that we are in. There are two things that are the game changer to our fight against COVID. The first thing is a mask. What the mask does is that the mask prevents the virus from entering our respiratory system, right? The mask prevents the virus from coming in, I mean, to a large extent. But, and then another thing that is a game changer is, wow, I got this, this is the biggest syringe I can buy on the internet, right? So it's not a real one, right? So the vaccination, getting vaccine. I know some of you, you have already gotten your second dose and, you know, this week was a struggle for you, you know. You got some fever, you got some ache and all these things. The vaccination gives us immunity, or maybe not 100%, but at least some form of immunity against the virus. But you know, with regards to the problem of sin, a solution like this, a mask and a vaccination kind of solution, would not be able to work. What do I mean by that? Is it a problem? Is this? The problem is that all of us, every one of us, we have already been infected with sin from the beginning. We are all born into sin. And what we truly need is an antidote, a radical cure that will be able to save us from sin and all of its effect. There is nothing that you and I can do, absolutely nothing, to get rid of it. No amount of good works, no amount of religion can get us right with God. And you know what? The greatest problem of sin is this. The greatest problem of sin is that we will lead to an eternal separation from God. An eternal separation from God. Some people call it eternal death. Some people call it hell. And the God of the Bible knows that there is no chance of us freeing ourselves from sin. We need a rescuer. We need someone to rescue us from sin. Because God created us for a relationship with Him. He loves us so much. He doesn't want us to be separated from Him. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish but have eternal life." He loves us so much that He doesn't want us to perish. He loves us so much that He doesn't want us to be separated from Him eternally. So what did He do? He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to pay for our sins, so that you and I can come back into a relationship with Him, to know Him, to do life with Him, so that as a result of that, we can be saved from our sin. We can be saved from our sin. So how can someone be saved from sin? Whoever, they confess their sin and make Jesus their Lord and Savior. If you believe in Jesus, you put your faith in Jesus, and you make Jesus your Lord and Savior, you can be saved. You know, today some of you are watching us online. Today, you can make Jesus your Lord and Savior. You can live a life that is different from the life that you're living right now. Because of Jesus, your life can find, you can find new life in Him, new joy, new purpose in Jesus, free from sin, free from all the guilt and shame, free from whatever that is trying to change what God wants for you. Jesus can give you a new life. And later on, I want to give every one of us here and every one of us who are watching our centers and online, I want to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus into your life, to make Him your Lord and Savior. And right now, I want to take some time to pray for us. I want to take some time for us to just worship God together. And on this Mother's Day weekend, let's remember what Jesus has done for us. So can I invite you in our centers and here in the exits, can we rise on our feet together in our centers? And those of us who are watching online, if you can I invite you to stand on your feet together? We want to pray together. We want to worship together. Let's worship Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We worship you because of you. I was born again. Because of you, I'm ransomed by your grace. Because of you, my heart has found a home, a refuge for my soul. Because of you, because of you, sins are washed away. Because of you, heaven knows my name. Because of you, I can live again. You've broken every chain. On Calvary, and now worship together because of you. The weak say I am strong.
Today you can say you're strong in Jesus.
Because of you, the broken have a song.
Jesus, I want to touch every one of you today.
Because of you, there's no need to fear. Hope steadfast.
Eyes are closed and all heads are bowed. I believe the Lord wants to touch some of us right now. Whether you are in our centers, whether you are watching online, as you close your eyes, as you look to Him, I want to let you know that whatever storm that you're going through right now, God wants to journey with you. He wants to touch you. He wants to minister to you. He wants to show you who He is and what He can do in your life. And I want to pray for you. If you know that this is you, you know that you need prayer today, you know that you need to cry out to Him today, you can lift your hands right now. Just put your hands up and I can pray together with every one of us whose hands are raised. I want the Lord to touch you right now. God, we know that only you truly understand what we are going through. You allow things to happen so that we can experience you more through the ups and downs in life, oh God. And I pray that you give every one of us whose hands are raised, whose hearts are in pain, who is crying out to you, God, I pray you give them comfort, you give them strength, you give them enough courage to continue to move forward that they can only find in your presence and in the hope in you, oh God. Lord, I know that, Lord, you're still faithful, you're still good. Help us in all areas and all storms that we're going through. You mend the brokenhearted. You begin to come and bring your peace and your comfort to them. Teach them to live again. Teach them to love again. Teach them how to have hope in Jesus, because Jesus has given us this new life in Him, O God. We thank you, God, for what you have done and what you are going to do in us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. As all eyes are closed and all heads are bowed, whether in the centers or here, there's a group of you here. You do not have this personal relationship with Jesus yet. You have not invited Jesus into your life. Right now, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe your friend has asked you to watch this online. Maybe your child has asked you to come to watch us online. And maybe you're here in our centers. No matter what, God brought you here. You are here because He is calling you. He is drawing you to Him. And today, you can have this opportunity to say yes to Jesus. You can have this opportunity to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray together. And today, if this is your desire to receive Jesus into your life, you can pray this prayer together with me. And church, I want to invite you, wherever that we're watching, we can pray this prayer together with our friends. So let's pray this together. Let's repeat after me this prayer and mean it in our hearts as we pray this together. Say together with me,
Dear Jesus,
I confess that I'm a sinner. And I want to thank you
for dying on the cross
for my sins.
Right now,
I invite you
to come into my life.
Come into my life.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
Help me to become.
Help me to become
the kind of person.
The kind of person
I was created to be.
I was created.
And I pray all this.
I pray all this
in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.